Saturday morning, Power Talk Radio, 1460 and 101 FM. It's the Experts Program. Nan Lesnick is on the line with us right now, and we're going to continue on with our conversation about the debt, the deficit, and Social Security. Good morning, Nan. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Mark. How are you?
I'm really well. Appreciate it. And, you know, it's the air show this weekend, so if you hear those loud planes, just look up in the sky, and you know that it's all happening at the Salinas Airport, which, by the way, is right across the street from our new studio location. We moved here back in November, and we're on Moffett Street now, right on the back side of the airport. So we have essentially like a front row seat for the air show.
That is awesome. At the end of the week, hearing the Blue Angels, is it Blue Angel? Yeah, Thunderbirds.
Yep. Yeah, the Blue Angels this year.
Blue Angels, okay. Yeah. Doing their touch and go at the mm-hmm. Monterey Airport, man, there is nothing like that sound. I absolutely love it. And some people go, oh, I hate that sound. I said, yeah, that's the sound of freedom.
Absolutely. Hey, the other day we were talking about the U.S. debt from an article in Wharton.com by Zhao Gomez, and it's called Is It the Calm Before the Storm? And there are some terms here that we wanted to talk about, and one of them has to do with the debt and the deficit. And so I want to have you talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, okay. Well, okay. So what the author says is he doesn't really even know that we need to reduce the debt. Now, this is kind of scary for people to hear, because let me step back to individuals and say one of the things that we focus on is helping people enter retirement with no debt or to eliminate all of their debt shortly thereafter. But the national debt is quite something different. So he says, I'm not sure that we need to reduce the national debt, but we do need to reduce the deficit. In other words, our overall GDP growth or our national income is what he sees is important in the focus.
Mm-hmm.
And he also said something interesting, that, and I've said this for a long time. Although, you know, obviously people know that I am a conservative, I always do say something similar to what he said here, and that is new administrations have ideas as how they want to push through and justify their borrowing by claiming that they are investing for the future. He says, we'll see the same if Democrats take office in 2 years. Every administration is prone to that, and the fiscal responsibility is always pushed toward the end of the term when you come to grips with reality that there's not a lot of growth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not quite 100% where I come down, but what I do tell people is no president makes or breaks the economy. It is cyclical. And while we are enjoying growth in our economy right now, and it is being attributed to a large part to our president and some of the restrictions that have been lifted, what I really want to emphasize here is that we can't necessarily prove that. We can just say we are in a good position, and it appears with this administration that we will continue that way. But we have had that happen under Democrat administrations as well. So
good
it's
point.
Really about the management of the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, and the management of our spending, as you alluded to at the close of our Thursday program.
That's right. What Milton Friedman once said was that if you want to know what the rate of taxation is going to be, just look at the rate of spending. Eventually, that has to be paid for. And Nan, you mentioned the debt and the deficit a moment ago, and I just wanted to take a second to kind of maybe draw the distinction between the two. For those who don't know, the deficit, let's do it this way. Let's say in the year 2019, the Congress decides to spend $5 trillion, but the Treasury only brings in revenue $4.5 trillion. That $500 billion difference is the deficit on that year's fiscal budget. Now, what is the debt? The debt is every year's deficit added basically onto the bottom line as a rolling debt. And that's what we have. We have like a rolling debt that keeps getting added to every year by whatever the amount of the deficit happens to be for that particular fiscal year.
Yep.
Is that clear enough?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. That's exactly right. The deficit gets added to the debt at the end of the term, shall
mm-hmm.
we say. Well, let's talk about fixing Social Security, because I think that people who are nearing or in retirement are really concerned about that. And one of the things that is said here is that we're facing funding threats from changes expected in workforce profile. We will have a lot of people leaving our labor force in in the coming years and not as many people coming in. Or so said not the author, but Tara Sinclair, who's an economics professor at George Washington University. So is she right or not? I don't know, because people are leaving the workforce. People who are coming in are coming in at a higher rate of pay, thus a higher Social Security tax. So that's not necessarily the answer doesn't lie in that statement. But one of the things that we realize is that we need to realize is the rationale of people retiring at age 65 or even 70, mm-hmm. when so many jobs are much less demanding than they used to be 20, 30, or 50 years ago, and life expectancy is longer now. You know, I reflect back on that. I graduated from high school a little bit more than 50 years ago. As I read this, I was thinking about the parents and my own family and the work that people did. My uncles were successful farmers, very successful farmers, and they worked on their hands and knees in the fields every day. They were out there with the other workers weeding and planting and really doing the physical labor. The successful farmer today is more of an executive or an administrator. Technology and improvement in all kinds of farming methods have resulted in less labor, and of course that's less taxing on them. I also think about some of the kids I graduated from high school with, jobs that their parents did. A lot of them worked at the steel mill. We had a steel mill close by, and a number of them worked at the Ford Motor Company, and it was manual labor. They worked hard, and I don't think it's my distorted view as a child. Looking back on that, those people looked their age, shall we say, or looked old when they were at retirement age, and we don't see that now. We right. just don't see that as often. Manual labor is very different, and that has changed our life expectancy. So now we're expected to live longer and not work as hard on our body. Now, there's one other thing that I want to mention that the author mentioned. Social Security was nearly broke in the 80s, but a bipartisan agreement in 1982 on reforming Social Security bought us 35 to 40 years of life. It gave us a little more runway, but now we're going to have a crisis again because we're squandering some of the savings that we realized from that.
Correct.
So it's time for another, shall we call it a reboot? Isn't that the popular term for Correct. Readdressing things? We need to reboot it. And what is the Social Security fix? I'm not really sure. But one of the things that we are seeing that is a drain on the whole system is a shakeup in Medicare. And the shakeup is not to continue to cut funding to physicians, which so far has been the solution. And that's not, they're about at the end of the rope on that. But also, what about shaking up the whole medical care system? There's been some attempt at that, but there has to be a greater attempt at that. And I think that those things are very, very much in the forefront of the kind of reforms that will keep those systems that we rely on to some extent intact.
Right. And Nan, if I could just mention one thing as a point of personal privilege here. Oftentimes, our listeners, and particularly Social Security recipients or just the general public, voters will hear some politicians say, oh, these guys are going to cut your Social Security benefits. They're proposing to cut your benefits. Yeah. And generally, yeah. that is in response to a proposal coming forward to increase the age that full benefits are available at. So the reality yeah. is you're not having your benefits cut. The real point is, if we don't do something about Social Security and we take this one path that's been recommended by so many economists to raise the age of retirement, there will be cuts in Social Security. If everything keeps going the way it's going, we'll get to a point down the line, maybe in another 20 years or so, where some recipients coming into the system may only get 75% of their promised benefit. Now, that's a cut in Social Security, okay? And that's going to be brought to you by the folks who don't want to do anything to really save Social Security. And so you have to understand yep. what people are talking about. Most of the credible proposals to help Social Security are done with the idea of gradually raising the retirement age so that they can rebuild the nest egg so it will serve more Americans with 100% of the guaranteed benefit at the time that they retire. retire. And some of the other proposals that really have become non-starters are ideas to raise the withholding rate on everybody. I mean, you always hear, well, we're going to raise the withholding rate on rich people or people making more than whatever the current, you know, top is. You know, we're going to take that cap off and we're going to index it more. Those people are a finite part of the population, okay? And you're not going to save the system on their backs. Eventually, if you do go that route, eventually you're going to have to get down to people making $50,000 and $60,000 a year and raise their withholding rate. Yeah. It's been proven. Economists have done studies that show that increases in payroll withholding taxes have a dampening effect on productivity. People don't want to work as hard. They don't want to put in the overtime because they realize that whatever extra effort they make, most of it is going to be taken away in taxation. So they choose not to work the extra hours, to work harder, and to build the economy.
Yeah, you're spot on. You're spot on. And I think that, you know, well, what I tell people, I'm not panicked about this, but we need to be aware. We need to be paying attention. And we need to also be paying attention to absurd thoughts that people have about adding more and more and more programs that cost us a lot of money. We owe the work for the retiring workforce of our country. We owe them their Social Security benefits. We owe them their Medicare benefits. And we do not need to, I don't know what the right word is, but we do not need to create a program that is going to destroy those.
Nan Lesnick's been our guest today. Reach her at her office in Monterey, 831-656-0236. Online, it is lesnickcompany.com. And her email is nan@lesnickcompany.com. Nan, thanks for your time this morning. And maybe we'll see you at the air show this weekend.
Maybe so. I hope so.